going to read a few verses out of the third chapter of Alma. I'm going to begin with verse 46 and read away. And I want you to pay attention to the words of Alma. And you have books, so I go along, and if I mispronounce a word, sometimes, if you're following along, you can see how it's written, and how it's written would be right, not how I might say it once in a while. And now, behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, and if ye have felt to sing a song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now? That's a question we all want to ask ourselves. If we have had a change of heart and feel to sing a song of redeeming love, can we do it now? Or has there something happened to keep us from it? We can't always tell just how everything's going to go in this life. And sometimes things come the way we want them. And sometimes they don't. And if they don't, well, sometimes it's things that we can't change. We just have to put up with it and keep on striving to do those things that Christ would have us to do. And most generally, if we stop to consider those things Christ would have us to do, is what he would do if he was here. So we want to think, when we go to do something, now if Christ was here, would he do this? It's a question we need to ask ourselves and then answer it. Because if we, in our own thoughts, when we get to thinking what we want to do, and then realize that if Christ was here, he wouldn't do that, then we better straighten ourselves up, because we're doing things that he don't want us to. Have ye walked keeping yourselves blameless before God? Another question. Have we or have we not? Sometimes little things happen, and sometimes big things happen. And if we don't watch ourselves, maybe we'll speak too quick. Maybe we'll act too quick. Maybe we should stop to think and, like they used to tell us sometimes, count to 10 before you answer. Could tell a funny little story on that, but that ain't what I'm here for. Could you say, if you were called to die at this time within yourself, that ye have been sufficiently humble? Now, you know, that's something that sometimes is a little hard for us to do, is to be sufficiently humble. A lot of us, while we can't sometimes realize it, we got something that we're just a little bit proud of. That ain't being humble. And he wants to know here if we've been sufficiently humble. It's another question you have to answer for yourself, because I can't answer it for you. That your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, who will come to redeem his people from their sins. Now, can we all answer yes? No, we can't. Because Sometimes we haven't done just the things that we know we should. Behold, are you stripped of pride? I say unto you, if you are not, you can't, you are not prepared to meet God. Behold, you must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such an one hath not eternal life. Behold, I say, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? And you know, it's just easy to envy somebody else. Think they've got something just a little better than you have. And that's something we want to get away from. He wants to know here if we're stripped of envy. I say unto you that such an one is not prepared, and I would that ye should prepare quickly. For the hour is close at hand, and he knoweth not when the time shall come. For such an one is not found guiltless. And again I say unto you, is there one among you that can make a mock of his, that doth make a mock of his brother, or that heapeth upon him persecutions? Woe unto such an one, for he is not prepared, and the time is at hand, and he must repent, or he cannot be saved. There's lots in them few verses for us to think of. If you've got them wrote down, sometime when you sit down to take it easy a little while, go through them again. I can just go through them here and maybe ask a question or two as I go through. But it's you that's got to do the answering. I answer for myself. And you have to answer for yourself. I'm going to drop down now to verse 62, right in this same one. And the verses in between are good. Some things that are nice, or we should say they're nice for us to stop to think about. Now, I'm not talking about this for right now. I'm talking about this for as we go along our life's journey through our everyday work. If all the religion we have is on Sunday, and just while we're here in church, and when we go out the door, it's altogether a different thing, but then we ain't gaining much. We want to take these questions with us as we go about our daily walk of life, so that we can kind of govern ourselves by some of the things that Alma has taught. While he was teaching the people back there, if he was teaching the things of God, and God is unchangeable, then he's teaching us the things that we ought to listen to now. Verse 62. Behold, I say unto you, that the good shepherd doth call you, yea, and in his own name he doth call you, which is the name of Christ. And if ye will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which ye are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. And if we're not the sheep of the good shepherd, if we're not his children, can we claim anything from him? Except us again, the load's on our shoulders. If we don't shoulder the blame, and repent of the things that we have done wrong and maybe are still doing, then how can we ask Him a favor? We do. A lot of times not realizing that we're not doing our part. But we still think He ought to do His. How many times do we do that with our fellow man here on earth? How many times do we allow ourselves certain latitude, but we talk with kind of a condemning voice about our neighbor if he was doing the same thing? It's something we want to stop and look at, because I know I have been there. And I'll say that sometimes I haven't done it right. And maybe you haven't. That's another thing that you have to do the answer for. I can't answer more. I'm going to turn on over a couple of pages. Still in the third chapter of Alma. I'm going to begin with verse 100. It says, "For the name of the righteous shall be written in the book of life, and unto them will I grant an inheritance at my right hand." These are the words of Christ through Alma. Now, if you would go back, I don't know if I wrote it down here or not. Yeah, I wrote it down. Maybe I better read it. I'm going to kind of get maybe a little tangled up here, get something, and then go back to what I was talking about. But over in Malachi, the third chapter, I'm going to read verse 16. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." Showing here that a book of remembrance was written, and that's what we call the book of life, as it is talked about over here in Alma. I just read here, and about the book of life. Revelation say the books were open, and another book was opened. And we can call that the book of life if we like to. And say that the people were judged out of the things that were written in the books. Not about the way some man thought. Sometimes judges have a mind of their own. But Christ said, "The words that I speak, they will judge you at the last day." And that's what He's talking about in these books. The words that He spoke and the words that are written in the book of remembrance is what we're going to be judged by. So we want to be careful what we do that will be written in this book of life. If it contains all of our deeds, we want to be sure that we have turned from unrighteousness to righteousness and continue therein. And Ezekiel tells us if we do, our unrighteousness will not be remembered. But vice versa. If we turn from righteousness to unrighteousness and continue therein, our righteousness will not be remembered. That's not in my references here, but then I told you that much to know. I wrote read verse 100. And where it speaks of him granting an inheritance on his right hand, if you turn over to the 25th chapter of Matthew, it tells you how that all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And then he tells each one where to go. And we want to be with the ones on the right hand, because that's the best place to go. You can read it. I think it starts with about 31st verse. My memory is good. In the 25th chapter of Matthew. Like I said, it's not in my references. And now, my brethren, what have ye to say against this? I say unto you, if ye speak against it, it matters not. For the word of God must be fulfilled. For what shepherd is there among you, having many sheep, does not watch over them, that the wolves enter not and devour his flock? And behold, if a wolf enter in his flock, doth he not drive him out? Yea, and at the last, if he can, he will destroy him. And now I say unto you, that the good shepherd doth call after you, and if you will hearken unto his voice, he will bring you in to his fold, and ye are his sheep. That sounds simple. All we got to do is hearken unto his voice and do the things he says. And he'll bring us into his fold, and we'll be his sheep. Is that what we want? It isn't, I'm wasting my time. I hope I'm not wasting it. I'm going to turn to the 9th chapter of Alma for a little more. I'm going to begin with verse 14. Sometimes, I think Alma has told us an awful lot. He has told us things in here that if we don't stop and study and ask for a little enlightenment on some of them, we're liable to get them mixed into the wrong place. But most of it is so plain that there can be no doubt, in my mind anyway, of what he's talking about. Alma, the 9th chapter, verse 14, and I'm going to read quite a little ways this time. I've got a half hour up there, and I can spend it all on here, maybe. And he said unto Alma, what does this mean, which Amalek has spoken concerning the resurrection of the dead, that all shall raise from the dead, both the just and the unjust, and be brought to stand before God to be judged according to their works? Now this is just what I was talking about a little bit ago, but it speaks of that judgment over there in Matthew. they're going to be judged for their works. Now, there has been sometimes some misunderstanding about when some of this rewards that we're going to get from the judgment of Christ happen. If we read over in Mosiah, he tells us that if we do certain things in harmony with what the Lord wants us to do, he said, he immediately blesses you. He says, therefore you are paid. And if we do contrary, a lot of times he brings a judgment onto us, sometimes in one way and sometimes in another. And immediately we're paid again on the wrong side. Just read the Old Testament down through the different things that the children of Israel did. Sometimes he brought another nation in to, shall I say, chastise them on account of the wickedness that they were doing. Sometimes when they was doing the things that he would have them to do, he blessed them. A lot of times these rewards that they speak about are going to be paid right here on this earth. But where we come to that judgment bar on the other side, whether we go into paradise or whether we're cast into outer darkness, that's going to be from our works, whatever we do here on earth. Whether we do works that he can forgive us the things that we have done wrong, if we don't live in such a way that he can forgive us the wrong doings, there's not any of us going to make it. So we want to try our best to live by the word that he's left here for our guidance. Over in Nephi, he tells us that we're going to be saved by grace after all we can do, showing that we've got to do all we can if we expect to be saved by grace. I wish I had written that down, but I didn't. And now Helma began to expound these things unto him, saying, now this is Zizram he's talking to, a lawyer that was trying to cross up Helma and Amulek. And now Alma began to expound these things unto him, saying, it is given unto many to know the mysteries of God. Nevertheless, they are laid under a strict command that they shall not impart only according to the portion of his word which he doth grant unto the children of men, according to the heed and diligence which they give unto him. And therefore, he that will harden his heart, same receiveth the lesser portion of the word. And he that will not harden his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until they know them in full. And they that will harden their hearts, to them is given a lesser portion of the word, until they know nothing concerning his mysteries. Well, that's a lot of words, but it's got a meaning to it. It shows us what we're going to get if we don't harden our hearts and what we're going to get if we do harden our hearts. Because we want to know more about that word and all of his mysteries. And then they are taken captive by the devil, led by his will down to destruction. That is these that have hardened their hearts, or taken captive. Now this is what is meant by the chains of hell. And Amulek has spoken plainly concerning death and being raised from this mortality to a state of immortality, and being brought before the bar of God to be judged according to our works. Then if our hearts have been hardened, yea, if we have hardened our hearts against the word, insomuch that it has not been found in us, then will our state be awful, for then we shall be condemned. For our words will condemn us, yea, all our works will condemn us. We shall not be found spotless. Our thoughts also will condemn us. And in this awful state, we shall not dare to look up to our God. And we would fain be glad if we could command the rocks and the mountains to fall upon us and hide us from his presence. But this cannot be. We must come forth and stand before him in his glory, in his power, and in his might, majesty, and dominion, and acknowledge to our everlasting shame that all his judgments are just. That he is just in all his works, that he is merciful unto the children of men, and that he has all power to save every man that believeth on his name and bringeth forth fruit meet for repentance. I can't tell if there's any plainer. I'm going to read a verse out of 2 Nephi. I don't know, I might have talked about this, and that it might be something that I haven't, but I've got it written down here. This is the one I quoted to you a while ago. Verse 44 in chapter 11. It says, "For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do." I guess I must have quoted it pretty close, because there is the words written in black and white. I'm going to drop down the page and read a couple more, 55 and 56. "And now behold, I say unto you that the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not, and Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore ye must bow down before him, worship him with all your might, mind, and strength, and your whole soul. And if you do this, you shall in no wise be cast off." That's the start, is to believe in him, bow down before him, and worship him. And it says, with your whole soul, and if you do this, all your might, mind, and strength, you shall in no wise be cast off. And that's what we want. We don't want to be cast off. If we wanted to be cast off, we wouldn't be here. We'd be out, like some of them say, enjoying ourselves, worldly. You know, there's different ways of enjoying yourself. You can enjoy yourself worldly. But after you know to enjoy yourself by worshiping God, worldly things don't come first. If we want worldly things first and Christ second, we are, shall I say, transgressing one of the commandments. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and get to the state where we enjoy that more than getting out here and, as I say, enjoying worldly things, then we're beginning to get on the road to a closer walk with God, where we can walk in that straight and narrow path. Turn over the page. Two pages. In that same chapter, I'm going to begin with verse 95. For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you, that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. If you see something and it's kind of so far in the dark that it's a mystery, you know that it isn't of God, because he don't work in darkness. But he works for the goodness of man. He doth not anything, save it be for the benefit of the world. For he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation. You see that what he said? He commands none that they shall not partake of his salvation. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, depart from me? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he saith, come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, by milk and honey, without money and without price. You know, when John's disciples went to Christ and asked him if he was the one or if they looked for another yet, and he told them to go back and tell John what they had seen, how the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the sick are healed, and said, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. You know, that makes a big difference, whether the poor have the gospel preached unto them, or whether it's just somebody, shouldn't say this, but some of them say money talks, but it don't when it comes to the gospel. Humility is what counts when it comes to the gospel of Christ. Guide and direct ourselves in that path as humble followers of Christ. Like I say, humility. We don't care how much money somebody's got. The poor, he said, had the gospel preached to them, not just the rich. And here he says to come and buy milk and honey without price, without money. That's the way we want to get the gospel. Without money, without price. Behold, hath he commanded any that they should depart out of the synagogue or out of the house of worship? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he hath given it free for all men. And he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men to repentance. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But all men are privileged, the one like unto another, and none are forbidden. That leaves it up to us again. Are we going to be there? Are we going to partake of His goodness? Are we going to try to learn of the things pertaining to God that we might reap His goodness? Over in Revelation 2:27, second chapter, 27th verse, and in Psalms 2:9, both speaks of Him ruling with a rod of iron. Now you know this sounds bad, to rule with a rod of iron. I've not got time to go into all of the things of Lehi's vision, but he seemed, I've got time to read part of it. In 1 Nephi, First Nephi 2. If we would read the whole page 20 and then go around 21, it's a little too much to read it all tonight. But I'm going to read beginning with verse 62. It says, "And I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river, and led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led by the head of the fountain into a large and spacious field, as it had been the world." Now what I wanted to get there was that he seen this rod of iron, and he shows you how the rod of iron went along by this path. And if you read it all, it shows you how different ones come along and grabbed a hold of that rod of iron and held on to that rod of iron to keep them in that straight and narrow path. But some of them, there was a mist of darkness, and it says that mist of darkness was the temptations of the evil one, and that led many of them to let go of that rod of iron, and they was lost in that mist of darkness and stuff. If you would study that on down, if you got something to write it down, you need to read from verse 44-83. And then you need to go over into 3rd Nephi and read Nephi's seeing the interpretation of this vision. And you can read that in verses 46, 47, 63, 64, 68, 69, 93 and 94, 124, 125 and 126 and 27. And it'll show you that that rod of iron was the Word of God. And that's what he's going to rule them by, is that word of God. And I don't know of anything showing that any plainer than that vision of Lehi and Nephi. Because they were shown the vision and the interpretation. Now, we hear a lot of times of visions and interpretations. And sometimes those interpretations are guesswork. But with this, where it was the angel showing him the interpretation of that vision, there's no guesswork about it. It's right there, and it's the word of God. And he shows in that vision of the big and spacious building that was across the water. And he said that water was the depths of hell. And this spacious building, it seemed like they could talk back and forth, because some of them in that building was pointing at the ones that already had come to the tree of life. And many of them was ashamed because they were pointing the finger at them and was lost, drifted away and was lost. I'm just telling you just parts of this vision. And it said that they couldn't come across there, but seemed like they could talk back and forth across. And it said a great gulf was between them and that big building. It said, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And if you want to talk, get some more about that great gulf and being between them and still being talked across it, it said that great gulf was because then they couldn't go from here to there, and they couldn't go from there over here. And you can read about that if you want to, about the rich man and Lazarus. And you can find that in Luke, the 16th chapter, begin with verse 19 and read to verse 31. And it shows there of a great gulf that was through there. And if I'll tell you a little bit of that, where the rich man and the Lazarus had both had gone on to the next world. And the rich man in misery, in hell, wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back to his people to tell them how this awful was over there, so that they could correct themselves and not come over there. And Abraham told him no. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. And he says, if they'll not hear them, they'll not hear the one come back from the dead and told them. Now, that puts us in the same place. While we have Moses and the prophets, we also have the New Testament. And we have the Book of Mormon complete, that they didn't have back there. And it all teaches the gospel of Christ, his doings with men. The one on the one continent, the other on the other. And if we won't believe them, we wouldn't believe the one come back from the dead and told to us.
Wednesday evening we have prayer service. We'll close with number 389.